There being more than 250 of the voting members represented in this assembly, a quorum is present. I call on our secretary, Sandra Franklin, to move adoption of the rules of assembly.
Thank you, Michelle. The rules of assembly include... Is it on? All right, sorry about that. The rules of assembly include information on addressing the chair, presenting motions, debating, and voting. These rules are available on MLANet. The tellers have a few print copies available. Please raise your hand if you would like to have a print copy of the rules of assembly. And it's difficult to see from here if anyone is raising their hand. They're blinded by the light. At the direction of the board of directors, I move that the rules of assembly, as they appear on MLANet, be adopted.
The question is on the adoption of the rules of assembly. Is there any discussion?
Could we turn the lights on in the audience, please?
Okay. All righty. As many as are in favor, raise your paddles. Lower them. There being a majority in the affirmative, the rules are adopted.
A print copy of the official program is in the hands of each registrant for this meeting. The agenda for the 2016 business meeting is found on page 35 in the official program. By direction of the Board of Directors, I move that the agenda for the 2016 business meeting of the Medical Library Association be adopted.
The question is on the adoption of the agenda for the 2016 business meeting. Is there any discussion? Okay. As many as are in favor, raise your paddles. Lower them. Those opposed, raise your paddles. Lower them. There being a majority in the affirmative, the agenda is adopted. In November of 2015, ballots for the MLA election of the 2016-2017 Officers Board of Directors and Nominating Committee were sent electronically or by postal service to all 2,848 eligible voting members of the Medical Library Association. 1,220 valid ballots were returned, a participation rate of 42.8%. On December 14th, the 2015 election results were certified by VoteNow.com, an LLC of Jacksonville, Florida, MLA's election contractor. The election results were announced in December 2015 in MLA Focus and in February 2016 issue of the MLA News. The election results, including the vote totals, are published in the 2015-2016 annual report, which is available on MLANet. Following are the election results. Barbara A. Epstein, AHIP, was elected president-elect. The following each were elected for a three-year term to the MLA Board of Directors. Amy Blevins, AHIP. Keith W. Cogdill, AHIP. The following nine people were elected to the nominating committee: Helen Ann Brownstein, AHIP; Kelly Gonzalez, AHIP; Stephen J. Greenberg; Shannon D. Jones, AHIP; Rika Agawa, AHIP; Joey Nicholson; Jerry Perry, AHIP; Preet Rana; Michelle R. Tennant, AHIP; Linda Walton, AHIP, MLA's 2015-2016 immediate past president, is serving as chair of the 2017-2018 nominating committee. Our next order of business is to consider the amendments to the MLA bylaws and special rules of order. Before we begin our discussion, I call on Bylaws Committee Chair Ellen Brassel to give background information about the proposed changes. Do you want to do it there, or do you want to?
I was going to do it from there.
Okay. Oh,
Thank you, Michelle. Hi, everyone. MLA's strategic goal one, what MLA does, calls for organizational changes that will enhance the relevance of your professional organization and speed up decision-making and execution. The Board of Directors asked the Bylaws Committee to review the bylaws from this perspective, resulting in the most comprehensive review of MLA bylaws and special rules of order since the early 1990s. The changes the Bylaws Committee proposed are intended to streamline how business is conducted and clarify how MLA is structured. Some changes are editorial, simplifying and cleaning up the language of the bylaws. Others will help speed up decision-making, enabling MLA to respond more efficiently to changing member needs. The proposed changes also clarify processes and seek to empower groups within MLA with greater decision-making authority. To make this process transparent and gather member feedback on these important changes, the committee set up an online forum for bylaws discussion. In February 2016, MLA shared with you proposed amendments to MLA's bylaws, Motion 1, and elimination of the special rules of order, Motion 2, as approved by the Board of Directors in November 2015. On April 25th, the Bylaws Committee published on MLA.net an amendment to Motion 1, which is the result of your detailed and insightful questions and suggestions. Thank you very much for participating in such an open review process. On Sunday, the Bylaws Committee, that's this past Sunday, also sponsored an open forum where members continued the conversation. Today, we are ready now to discuss and vote on Motion 1, Amendment to the Bylaws, the amendment to Motion 1 that reflects the edits following member discussion, and Motion 2, elimination of the special rules of order.
Thank you, Ellen. Upon direction of the Board, the Bylaws Committee, and Parliamentarian recommend that the announcement of the time and place for the discussion and proposed amendments be announced to the membership in February issue of MLA News and posted on MLA.net in compliance with Article 14, Section 1B of the bylaws. The tellers distributed copies of the agenda and motions for today's discussion and vote, including the original documents 2015 bylaws revision and special rules of order. Note that the original documents start over with page 1. When asking questions, please cite the page, number, article, and section number. If you do not have a copy, please raise your hand and a copy will be brought to you. For mobile access, the document is posted in the online meeting program schedule. On Tuesday, May 17th, 9 to 10:25 a.m., the MLA Business Meeting Presidential Inaugural Address and MLA 17 invitation. Is anyone missing the reprint? All right. We are now ready to begin our deliberations. Our first item of business is the discussion and amendment of the proposed bylaws revision. Article 14, Section 1B of the bylaw states, notice of the proposed amendments recommended by the Board of Directors or petitioned by a minimum of 150 voting members at least 16 weeks before the start of the annexed annual meeting shall be sent to each voting member at least 9 weeks before the date of the meeting. The notice shall indicate the time and place of the next annual meeting where the proposed amendments will be considered. Article 14, Section 2 states, opportunity shall be given at the annual meeting for debating and amending any properly proposed amendments to any part of the bylaws. Secretary Franklin, has the MLA membership been given proper notice of the proposed amendments to the bylaws?
Yes, President Kraft. The proposed amendments to the bylaws were published on MLA.net on January 28th and announced in the February issue of MLA News and in a February 11th Full Speed Ahead blog article, and more than 9 weeks before the date of this meeting. Notice of the time and place of the annual meeting was also provided in the MLA News article as required by the bylaws.
Thank you, Sandra. At this time, I remind the membership of our rules of assembly. Discussion is limited to 2 minutes per speaker. No speaker may have the floor twice on the same question until all who wish to have to speak have spoken. A member wishing to speak a second time is limited to 1 minute. The timekeepers will time all discussion. Hold up a paddle to signify when the two-minute limit is up. Speakers may not yield the floor to another person. The chair will recognize the speakers. When you approach the microphone, please state your name, institution, city, and state. For the sake of time, if there is no objection from the floor, I will ask the membership to suspend the rule to read all of the bylaws. If this meets with your approval, Ellen Brassel will move that amendments by the bylaws be adopted. No second is required because the bylaws committee is submitting the amendments. This motion puts the amendments on the floor for discussion and amendment. The chair will restate the motion. We will then consider motion one and the amendment to the motion one as published in the April 25th document, agendas and motions for May 17th, 2016 MLA business meeting. Is there any objection to suspending the rule that all of the proposed amendments be read?
Wow.
Yay. Hearing none, thank you. The amendments to the bylaws will not be read. At this time, I will call on our parliamentarian, Pat Thibodeau, who will walk us through the parliamentary process for addressing motion one and amendment and the amendment to motion one.
As you know, members provided the bylaws committee with great feedback to the 2015 bylaws revision document that has resulted in 13 amendments to motion one. To simplify and streamline the task of introducing 13 amendments to the main motion, motion one, and to help us finish the bylaws discussion and business meeting on time, the chair will make a motion to temporarily suspend Robert's Rules of Order, section 12, pages 130 to 137, that require separate motions for insertions, additions, strike-throughs, and substitutions. This will allow us to make all the revisions and corrections in one motion instead of 13 motions. It'll also allow us to move forward with further debate and motions to the amended bylaws. This approach will save us time so that we can address these and other issues and still end our discussion in the allotted 30 minutes. Also, by calling the question after the primary motion to amend the proposed bylaw changes, we will return to the full debate of the amendments and consider additional issues and motions. The motion to suspend Section 12 of Robert's Rules of Orders is not debatable or amendable and requires a two-thirds vote to pass. If passed, we will present the motion to amend with all the additional revisions to the bylaws wording in the main motion. By calling the question after the motion to amend is made, we can vote on the motion amendment and return to full debate and motions on the amended main motion. This is confusing, I know. Hang with us. We will then return to Robert's Rules of Orders for accepting insertions, additions, strike-throughs, and substitutions. Before we move to suspend Section 12, we must first move to consider the amendment to the motion.
Ellen.
Move that the MLA Board of Directors approve for presentation to the membership amendments to the bylaws noted as areas 1, 2, and 3 below. These amendments will, area 1, simplify and clean up procedural detail, remove provisions that do not reflect current practice, add provisions that reflect current practice, clarify processes and procedures, and make necessary editorial, grammatical, and numerical changes as needed to reflect the intent of these amendments. Area 2, create separate articles for sections, chapters, section council, and chapter council. Remove procedural detail, clarify processes and procedures. Remove provisions that create barriers to flexibility of operations and introduce changes that would benefit MLA sections and chapters, and make necessary editorial, grammatical, and numerical changes as needed to reflect the intent of these amendments. Area 3, provide flexibility for establishing and changing membership categories and membership dues, and make necessary editorial, grammatical, and numerical changes as needed to reflect the intent of these amendments. The rationale for these changes can be found in the gray highlighted areas of column 2. It's under the heading Proposed Amendments in the 2015 Bylaws Revision Document.
It has been moved that the MLA Board of Directors approve for the presentation to the membership amendments to the bylaws that have been noted as areas 1, 2, and 3, and as read by the Bylaws Committee Chair. At this time, I will introduce the motion to suspend Robert's Rules of Order, Section 12. Moved to temporarily suspend Section 12 amendments from the Robert's Rules of Orders, thereby eliminating the requirement that each substitution or change be treated as a separate motion. As many are in favor, raise your paddles. Paddles down. As many are opposed, raise your paddles. Paddles down. There being a two-thirds majority in the affirmative, you are recommending to temporarily suspend Section 12 amendments from the Roberts Rules of Orders. Bylaws Committee Member Mary Helms will now summarize the changes to Motion 1 and then read the amendment to Motion 1.
Since the 2015 bylaws revision was announced and published on MLA.net, the Bylaws Committee received several comments and suggestions for change. These changes are reflected in the Bylaws Committee's amendment to Motion 1, beginning on page 4 of the agenda and motions for the May 17th business meeting. Members address the need to ensure that the definition of our core members is defined by Article 3, Section 2, Classes of Membership. Authorize the Bylaws Committee and staff to make grammatical, editorial, numerical, and technical changes in the areas noted in the amendment to Motion 1, pages 5 through 10 of the agenda and motions for the May 17th business meeting document. Hang in there, guys. Replace gender-specific language with non-gender-specific language wherever it occurs through the bylaws, and make any other needed grammatical, editorial, numerical, and technical changes without changing the intention of the bylaws or their amendments. On behalf of the Bylaws Committee, it is move to amend Motion 1 to reflect the edits provided by the MLA membership and as published on pages 4 through 10 of the agenda and motions of the May 17, 2016 MLA business meeting document.
It has been moved to amend the Motion 1 to reflect the edits provided by the MLA membership. You can find the amendment to the motion on amendment to Motion 1 on pages 4 through 10 of your handout.
I call the previous question to amend Motion 1 to reflect the edits provided by the MLA membership as published on pages 4 through 10 of the handout.
Do we have a second? It has been moved to amend Motion 1 to reflect the edits provided by the MLA membership as published on pages 4 through 10 of the agenda of the motions for May 17, 2016 MLA business meeting document. This requires a two-thirds majority vote to adopt, not the majority vote that is published on line 11 of the agenda. After the vote, we will return to the amended main motion for all other changes in motions. It has been moved to amend Motion 1 as presented. As many as are in favor, raise your paddles. Paddles down. As many are opposed, raise your paddles. Paddles down. There being a two-thirds majority in the affirmative, you are recommending to the membership adopting the amendment to Motion 1 or the amended main motion. Pat will now walk us through our next steps.
At this time, the Section 12 of Robert's Rules of Order is no longer suspended. Debate and amendments can continue, but we will now will work from the amended main motion for all further motions. I will remind the Assembly that we have approved authorizing the Bylaws Committee to make any other needed grammatical, editorial, numerical, and technical changes without changing the intention of the bylaws or their amendments. To save time, if you wish to recommend these types of changes, please write them out and present them to Ellen Brazel by Friday, May 27, 2016.
The floor is now open for discussion of Motion 1 as amended by the amendment to Motion 1, the amended main motion.
There's someone at 4.
Thank you. Somebody's at 4?
Yes. Is this on?
Yes.
Yes, I'd like to discuss the executive director not being bonded.
You need to state your name.
Sorry. Catherine Moore, Signature Healthcare, Brockton Hospital, Hospital Library Section.
Thank you.
Okay. Sorry about that. So on page 10, it says the executive director will no longer need to be bonded. And I'm quite concerned about that because most all the accounting boards, agencies, whatever, recommend that the executive director be bonded. So I'd like to have a discussion on that. And that's on page 10.
Right.
The executive director is not required to be bonded.
I can probably address that. And the evidently standard operating procedure for MLA is, in fact, that they bond their executive director. So therefore, it is more of a policy than a bylaws article. So that's why it was taken out. But the executive director will still remain bonded.
Okay, so then why is it taken out? I mean,
it just doesn't need to be in the bylaws. One of the things with bylaws is you want to leave it as flexible as possible, and you want to have, like, standard operating policies and things perhaps in a separate document, which the board is going to create, and those policies, such as this one, will be part of the board manual in the future.
Okay, my question is, do we get to vote? Does the general membership get to vote on the policies? Because if they don't, then it needs to stay in the bylaws.
I don't think there was a plan to have an actual official vote on the procedures manual, but certainly the policy and procedures manual will be shared with the membership. It's more of an operating issue.
Right. That's my concern, that it needs to be part of the bylaws so that there's no question as to the fact that it has to be done. Since we don't get to vote on the policy, but we do get to vote on the bylaws, I'm concerned about that.
She can make a motion. I mean, she can introduce it.
So I make a motion to amend the bylaw.
Okay.
So
to insert that back in.
To make a motion, you need to get a motion form from one of our tellers.
Okay.
And then make the formal motion, and then we'll consider it, debate it, and vote on it.
Okay.
Sorry, I don't see anybody with a...
She's on Linnea's.
Right. While she's writing that out, we can continue with questions.
Number one.
John Jones, University of Colorado, Anschutz Medical Campus, Colorado, Denver, Colorado. So I'm against reinserting this particular thing. In general, our board and the members there are elected, so you guys are there to represent us. I trust that you are not going to make poor decisions against us, so... I don't think that we need to necessarily vote on a policy document, but I think we need to have that. So that's all I want to say.
She can withdraw her motion if she wishes or continue.
It's addendum 3.
Okay. If the person at 4 wants to withdraw the motion, they can do so. Or if you want to continue on, you can continue with the motion. Thank you. That's Amendment 3. Thank you. And procedures...
I'd like to continue with the motion. Sorry.
Okay. Procedures for making a motion on the floor after we finish voting on which we did. A motion is made for another amendment from the floor. A motion is made for another amendment from the floor to the amended main motion. The motion is discussed and voted on. The president calls for further amendments to the amended main motion, and we will repeat this process until all motions to change the document are finished. So the procedures for making another amended amendment to the amended main motion from the floor. Ask the tellers for it to give the member a motion form. Ask the member to write the motion and direct the tellers to give a copy to the form of the form to the president. Then the president reads the proposed amendment to the amended main motion, opens the floor again for discussion, closes discussion, and states the following. Are you ready to vote? And then we'll go from there. I think.
Ask if there are any further
questions. Are there any further questions? Okay.
Oh, wait.
Number two.
Hi, I'm Raika Ogawa, UCLA, Los Angeles, California. First, I wanted to thank the Bylaws Committee for their difficult job and diligence in their work, and the board and their transparency with both making sure that this was presented in time to the members and giving us multiple forums for discussion. And my comment, rather than anything else, has been brought up in other forums, but I want to make sure that as much as the membership can hear it as possible. We're supposed to mention amendments, motions, whatever. I don't have an amendment. In the Article 3, Section 6 of the new proposed bylaws under dues, they are significant changes to the dues structure, putting them to a vote of the board rather than the vote of the membership with appropriate safeguards and concerns for not raising due structures too often. I, as John stated before, trust the board as our representatives, but I wondered if the board at all wanted to mention anything about the changes to the membership so that we, as a group, were informed about why and how and what we're voting on. Thank you.
Okay. It takes 2 years for us to change the dues. Right now, we have an institutional membership that is not really functional, and for us to get that either functional or change it, it would take 2 years. And so that's one of the difficulties that we have. Another issue that we have is that we have been approached by various people who would like to be members but are in Hinari countries. We cannot offer a lower due for anybody who's in a Hinari country because that's setting the dues, and that would require the members to vote each time we had to come up with a new due structure for somebody like that. Also, we have been approached for people who have lost their jobs and asked for a reduced membership rate, and we cannot offer them a reduced membership rate. The board cannot do that. It requires the members to do that, and that would require 2 years to do, which hopefully that person would have found a job by then. So the board isn't looking to raise the members' rates at this time. We're looking to provide flexibility so that we can provide more options for people who need the options without waiting 2 years, which pretty much expires many of our options. Any clarifications or questions?
I would add to that that it also, under the current structure, our flexibility to do things like design a new structure for institutional membership or a new way of handling institutional memberships is similarly constrained and requires a 2-year process to make any of those kinds of changes as well.
Okay, we have somebody walking to a mic. Okay, we have somebody at four.
Yeah, I'm Maggie Ansel from the University of Florida in Gainesville, Florida. I mentioned this to the bylaws, but I would love clarification and or just letting everyone get an idea. So you mentioned earlier in the discussion about like that there are some things that should be bylaws and some things that should be in procedures manuals. And of course, now that we're going to be doing this, you know, the section and chapters will be creating procedure manuals, and hopefully they'll be reviewing the procedure manuals with their membership, which is great. But the procedure manual that I'm most concerned about is the board procedure manual, which doesn't exist yet. This will be the first time one's been created, which is great. But the review process to me is not clear. And I would really like to see some sort of membership involvement and or approval of the finalized procedure manual. so that because a lot of the things that were formerly in the bylaws are now being controlled by procedures that have not yet been created, so that it will be in the board procedure manual. So I would like to see a lot of membership involvement in that, in the creation of that document. So I don't know if I want to make a motion because it doesn't have anything to do with the bylaws, but I do want to see if there's either going to be a protection like
we
about
can, we can promise involvement.
Yes. I mean, I could make a motion that a section of the bylaws include descriptions of the process of creating the procedure manual, but that's like a whole section that doesn't currently exist.
Oh.
Yeah.
No. So I would address that. Robert's Rules of Order actually deals with things like procedures and so forth. They're approved at the board level. We, as a board, definitely promised that the creation of a new board manual will involve lots of communication with the members. But the board is authorized to create and approve procedures and policies for the Medical Library Association. That's one of our primary purposes.
We definitely seek input. I mean, when we have a board manual, it will help not only you, but the board.
Right.
One of the problems of putting it in the parliamentary bylaws is also that we'd have to go through votes like this.
Yes.
So I think that policies and procedures are usually outside the domain of bylaws, and you have to trust your members, your leadership, to a certain point. Knowing this membership, you will not let our leadership get away with things either. So,
Lene, do we have the motion that was originally proposed earlier? She's got it. Okay.
So the member needs to restate the motion and it needs to be seconded.
Okay. The member needs to restate the motion and it needs to be seconded.
Catherine Moore, again, Hospital Library Section. I move that Article 4 Officers, Section 6 Bond, that has the requirement that the Executive Director be bonded, be not struck and left as it is.
Do we have a second? Okay, we have a second. Hold on. All right. So read the motion again. I've got to read the motion again. Sorry. I'm reading.
You can read my writing.
I'll try. It has been moved that Article 14, Officers, Section 6,
bond. Sorry, it's not. It's Article 4.
Thank you. Sorry. Article 4, Officers, Section 6, bond.
That's the second.
Yeah. The requirement that the Executive Director be bonded, not be struck by.
And left as is.
And remain as is. Okay. I'm opening the floor for discussion. Mike, too.
Imelda Vetter, University of Alabama at Birmingham. Could you please explain what that means?
Do you want to explain the bonding?
Bonding is a process by which we buy insurance against malfeasance and other activities. And this motion is simply to retain the requirement that the executive director be bonded in the bylaws instead of removing it and moving it into a board procedure and policy manual.
We've got somebody moving over there. Number three.
Melissa Radadeski, University of Pittsburgh. Chris, can you clarify, because it does say note removes a practice that no longer exists.
I'm not sure why.
I think we'd have to ask, is Ray Nagel in the audience?
My name's Ray Nagel, Director of Financial and Administrative Services for the Medical Library Association. We currently have liability insurance, which covers a wide range of activities, one of them being theft insurance for employees and also volunteers. So if anything happens in the course of normal association activities, any losses by theft would be covered. Bonding is kind of a term that's often used in government agencies and in other venues, but within our world of associations, it's really theft insurance that covers exactly what bonding, what everyone's referring to here. Is that?
So I think what that means is that the reason that it says removes a practice that is no longer current is because we don't have a separate insurance policy specifically for the executive director. The executive director is covered under the more general policy.
Okay. Number four?
Yes, Catherine Moore again. Could you explain that further? Because I know from past experience with insurance companies can deny claims. As opposed to if you're bonded, there's no discussion.
Ray?
Well, bonding, as I understand it, refers to performance of a specific activity. For example, if you have a government contract, you would post a bond. And it often works with independent contractors when you're involved with a municipality or a government agency. And so contractors would purchase insurance specific for performance, and they would show that to the municipality to guarantee that they're going to perform whatever the contract says they're going to perform. Second, in the association world, we're more like a business, and we have employees, and we have the executive director who is one of the employees, and we have theft insurance. So if there is a loss, the association would be covered. And it is named in there that there is employee theft insurance. So I think it does the same thing without using the word bond. And when we bring this to our insurance agents, this is what they say, this is what you want for an employer and employee agreement. Does that help clarify? It does the same thing, it's just using the words employee theft insurance.
Okay, Mike Four.
Steve Greenberg, National Library of Medicine. Just as a point of information, was Carla bonded and is Kevin currently bonded?
No.
Is that two no's?
Well, to the extent that they're covered by employee theft insurance, which is precisely what bonding does.
Yes.
Right. Well, the lady before me was drawing a distinction. I'm just curious, was there specifically a bond?
No, there was not specifically a bond on Carla.
Thank you.
Yeah, it wasn't labeled as bond, it was employee theft insurance.
It was labeled, as Gray said, it was labeled as employee theft. It's exactly what Kevin has now. Okay, so I'm gonna close the discussion. Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Four.
Catherine Moore again. I'm still concerned because it all relies on the definition from the insurance company, whereas bonding is a very specific definition, and the fact that the board wasn't following the practice that was outlined in the bylaws is also concerning.
Okay.
Yeah, so I appreciate the distinction that you're trying to draw. It's our belief that the board was following the intent of the bylaws while not following them in actual practice. And there's a number of places where we cleaned up the bylaws to reflect actual practice as compared to intent. That was one of the things that we asked the bylaws committee to do, was to identify places where our current practice did not actually match the bylaws, where we weren't in complete compliance, and either help us decide to move to actual compliance or to revise the bylaws to reflect current practice.
Is an example.
Right. I don't think there was any intent to avoid complying. I think we were just going back and looking at something that hasn't really been revised in this significant a way in over 25 years, and trying to bring it up to date.
Okay, one more person.
Sorry, that's okay. This is Claire Tews from Johns Hopkins. I've been doing a little bit of quick searching, and I'm not sure. Surprise, surprise. I'm not sure it's as clear, black and white. For example, for an executor of a will, they are expected to be bonded, but one of the ways they can be bonded is to post an insurance policy.
Okay. So this closes the discussion. Are we ready for a vote? The vote is on the proposed amendment.
Read again.
Which I'm going to read again. The move to move that Article 4, Officers, Section 6, bond, the requirement that the executive director be bonded, not be struck, and remain as is. Okay. So voting in the affirmative means
that we will retain the requirement for a bond.
It's a majority vote. Okay. Voting in the affirmative means we will retain
the requirement
for a bond in the bylaws. Okay. Sorry. All those in favor, raise your paddles.
No.
Oh, sorry. So this is all those in favor for requiring the executive director be bonded in the bylaws.
It's clearly less than 50%.
Do the whole thing.
Okay. All those, lower your paddles. All those opposed, raise your paddles. It being a majority, the motion fails. Now I'm going back. What page are we on now?
Is there more discussion?
Is there more discussion? Okay, no discussion.
Wait,
oh, sorry. What page are we on?
We're back.
June Sims, Touro University, Nevada. My question is about, it's just a question. If we vote to adopt these bylaws, when do they go into effect?
January 1st, 2017.
So there will be time between the time that we adopt them for this policy document to be written and distributed to the membership before these amendments, these new bylaws are adopted. Is that correct?
Actually, the vote to the membership will go out this summer. All the members will have another chance to vote on these bylaw changes and all the amendments this summer, and then if approved, then this fall the work on the various procedure manuals will begin, since we're pulling information out of the bylaws and standing rules and putting them in procedure manuals. So that's the timing.
Thank you.
Yeah, and bylaws are official January 1st.
All right, I'm trying to find my page.
Hello.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Thank you. It has been moved that the MLA Board of Directors approve for the presentation to the membership amendments to the bylaws that have been noted as areas 1, 2, and 3 under Motion 1, and is amended by the amendment to Motion 1. As many are as in favor, raise your paddles. Paddles down. As many are opposed, raise your paddles. Paddles down. There being a majority in the affirmative, you are recommending to the membership adopting the amendment to Motion 1 as amended by the Bylaws Committee amendment to the Motion 1. We have completed discussion and vote of Motion 1. We are ready to discuss vote on Motion 2 regarding the elimination of the special rules of order. Okay, thanks. Again, for the sake of time, if there is no objection from the floor, I will ask that the members to suspend the rule to read all of the special rules of order. If this meets your approval, Ellen Brassel will move that the amendments to the special rules of order be adopted. No second is required because the Bylaws Committee is submitting the amendments. This motion puts the amendments on the floor for discussion and amendment. The chair will restate the motion. We will then consider Motion 2 as published on page 25 in the April 25th document, Agendas and Motions for May 17, 2016 MLA Business Meeting. Appendix 2, Special Rules of Order, highlights these changes. Is there any objection to suspending the rule that all of the proposed amendments be read? Good. Hearing none, the amendments to the special rules of order will not be read. Ellen, please present motion two.
Thank you, Michelle. Moved that the MLA Board of Directors approve for presentation to the membership the recommendation that the special rules of order be eliminated, effective January 1, 2017, contingent upon approval of Motion 1 by the voting membership following the annual meeting and by ballot, to simplify and reduce the number of documents that support the conduct of association business. Current provisions of the special rules of order will be recognized as follows. Sections 1 and 2 of the special rules of order become Article 6, Sections 7 and 8 of the bylaws. Sections 3, 4, 5, and 6 are removed from the special rules of order. Instead, board, chapter, and section council procedures manuals will define the details related to formation and recognition of chapters and sections, approval of new chapters and sections, continued recognition of chapters and sections, and recommendations from chapters and sections to the chapter and section councils. Sections 7 and 8 are removed from the special rules of order. Instead, the board procedures manual will define the details related to categories of active voting membership and subclasses of non-voting members.
It has been moved to eliminate the special rules of order as presented and is published on page 25 of the agenda and motions for May 17, 2016 MLA business meeting document. Appendix 2, special rules of order, highlights these changes. The motion is open for discussion. All right. As many are as in favor, raise your paddles. Paddles down. As many are opposed, raise your paddles. Okay. There being a two-thirds affirmative in the affirmative, you are recommending to the membership adopting motion two to eliminate the special rules of order. This brings the discussion of our bylaws and special rules of order amendments to a close. The amendments and a summary of your discussion on the bylaws will be made available to all voting members for their consideration and vote this summer. I want to thank all of the individuals who spent many long hours working on these issues. I would especially like to thank the Bylaws Committee, the Board of Directors, members of Chapter and Section Councils, the Membership Committee, and the MLA Headquarters staff for all of your work on behalf of the Association. If these members are present here, please stand and be recognized.
Come along.